Today on Commuter Bible, Nathan prophesies against David for his actions against Uriah the Hethite, and David's family begins to fall apart. Be advised, today's reading includes a heartbreaking account of sexual assault. It's 2 Samuel chapters 12 through 14 and Psalm 80. This is Commuter Bible, the audio Bible podcast to match your weekly schedule. I'm your host, John Ross. When we last left King David, he had slept with another man's wife. And when it came to light that she was pregnant, he designed a conspiracy to kill Uriah in order to cover up his own adultery. Today, Nathan comes to David with a word from the Lord. Because of his sin, the Lord says that he will take David's wives and give them to another before all of Israel. And by the end of our next reading, that prophecy comes true. David's sons begin to perpetuate their father's wickedness, and Amnon lusts after Tamar, his own half-sister. When David discovers that Tamar has been raped by Amnon, he is furious but does nothing to intervene. 2 Samuel chapters 12 through 14. So the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he arrived, he said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very large flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one small ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised her, and she grew up with him and with his children. From his meager food she would eat, from his cup she would drink, and in his arms she would sleep. She was like a daughter to him. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man could not bring himself to take one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for his guest." David was infuriated with the man and said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. Because he has done this thing and shown no pity, he must pay four lambs for that lamb." Nathan replied to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued you from Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that was not enough, I would have given you even more. Why then have you despised the Lord's command by doing what I consider evil? You struck down Uriah the Hethite with the sword and took his wife as your own wife. You murdered him with the Ammonite's sword. Now therefore, the sword will never leave your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hethite to be your own wife. This is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on you from your own family. I will take your wives and give them to another before your very eyes. And he will sleep with them in broad daylight. You acted in secret, but I will do this before all Israel and in broad daylight." David responded to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Then Nathan replied to David, "And the Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die. However, because you treated the Lord with such contempt in this matter, the son born to you will die." Then Nathan went home. The Lord struck the baby that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became deathly ill. David pleaded with God for the boy. He fasted, went home, and spent the night lying on the ground. The elders of his house stood before him to get him up from the ground, but he was unwilling and would not eat anything with them. On the seventh day, the baby died. But David's servants were afraid to tell him the baby was dead. They said, "Look, while the baby was alive, we spoke to him and he wouldn't listen to us. So how can we tell him the baby is dead? He may do something desperate." When David saw that his servants were whispering to each other, he guessed that the baby was dead. So he asked his servants, "Is the baby dead?"
"He is dead," they replied.
Then David got up from the ground. He washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes, went to the Lord's house, and worshiped. Then he went home and requested something to eat. So they served him food, and he ate. His servants asked him, "Why have you done this? While the baby was alive, you fasted and wept, but when he died, you got up and ate food." He answered, "While the baby was alive, I fasted and wept because I thought, 'Who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let him live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I'll go to him, but he will never return to me.'" Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba. He went to her and slept with her. She gave birth to a son and named him Solomon. The Lord loved him, and he sent a message through the prophet Nathan, who named him Jedidiah because of the Lord. Joab fought against Rabbah of the Ammonites and captured the royal fortress. Then Joab sent messengers to David to say, "I have fought against Rabbah and have also captured its water supply. Now therefore, assemble the rest of the troops, lay siege to the city and capture it. Otherwise, I will be the one to capture the city and it will be named after me." So David assembled all the troops and went to Rabbah. He fought against it and captured it. He took the crown from the head of their king, and it was placed on David's head. The crown weighed 75 pounds of gold, and it had a precious stone in it. In addition, David took away a large quantity of plunder from the city. He removed the people who were in the city and put them to work with saws, iron picks, and iron axes, and to labor at brickmaking. He did the same to all the Ammonite cities. Then he and all his troops returned to Jerusalem. Some time passed. David's son Absalom had a beautiful sister named Tamar, and David's son Amnon was infatuated with her. Amnon was frustrated to the point of making himself sick over his sister Tamar, because she was a virgin, but it seemed impossible to do anything to her. Amnon had a friend named Jonadab, a son of David's brother Shimeah. Jonadab was a very shrewd man, and he asked Amnon, "Why are you, the king's son, so miserable every morning? Won't you tell me?" Amnon replied, "I'm in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Jonadab said to him, Lie down on your bed and pretend you're sick. When your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Please, let my sister Tamar come and give me something to eat. Let her prepare a meal in my presence so I can watch and eat from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be sick. When the king came to him, Amnon said to him, "Please, let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my presence so I can eat from her hand." David sent word to Tamar at the palace, "Please go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare a meal for him." Then Tamar went to his house while Amnon was lying down. She took dough, kneaded it, made cakes in his presence, and baked them. She brought the pan and set it down in front of him, but he refused to eat. Amnon said, "Everyone leave me." And everyone left him. "Bring the meal to the bedroom," Amnon told Tamar, "so I can eat from your hand." Tamar took the cakes she had made and went to her brother Amnon's bedroom. When she brought them to him to eat, he grabbed her and said, "Come sleep with me, my sister." "Don't, my brother," she cried. "Don't disgrace me, for such a thing should never be done in Israel. Don't commit this outrage. Where could I ever go with my humiliation? And you would be like one of the outrageous fools in Israel. Please, speak to the king, for he won't keep me from you." But he refused to listen to her, and because he was stronger than she was, he disgraced her by raping her. So Amnon hated Tamar with such intensity that the hatred he hated her with was greater than the love he had loved her with.
"Get out of here," he said.
"No," she cried. "Sending me away is much worse than the great wrong you've already done to me."
But he refused to listen to her. Instead, he called to the servant who waited on him.
"Get this away from me. Throw her out and bolt the door behind her."
Amnon's servant threw her out and bolted the door behind her. Now, Tamar was wearing a long-sleeved garment, because this is what the king's virgin daughters wore. Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long-sleeved garment she was wearing. She put her hand on her head and went away, crying out. Her brother Absalom said to her,
"Has your brother Amnon been with you?"
"Be quiet for now, my sister. He is your brother. Don't take this thing to heart." So Tamar lived as a desolate woman in the house of her brother Absalom. When King David heard about all these things, he was furious. Absalom didn't say anything to Amnon, either good or bad, because he hated Amnon since he disgraced his sister Tamar. 2 years later, Absalom's sheep shearers were at Baal Hazor near Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. Then he went to the king and said, "Your servant has just hired sheep shearers. Will the king and his servants please come with your servant?" The king replied to Absalom, "No, my son, we should not all go, or we would be a burden to you." Although Absalom urged him, he wasn't willing to go, though he did bless him. "If not," Absalom said, "please let my brother Amnon go with us." The king asked him, "Why should he go with you?" But Absalom urged him, so he sent Amnon and all the king's sons. Now Absalom commanded his young men, "Watch Amnon until he is in a good mood from the wine. When I order you to strike Amnon, then kill him. Don't be afraid. Am I not the one who has commanded you? Be strong and valiant." So Absalom's young men did to Amnon just as Absalom had commanded. Then all the rest of the sons got up and each fled on his mule. While they were on the way, a report reached David. Absalom struck down all the king's sons. Not even one of them survived. In response, the king stood up, tore his clothes, and lay on the ground, and all his servants stood by with their clothes torn. But Jonadab, son of David's brother Shimeah, spoke up. My lord must not think they have killed all the young men, the king's sons, because only Amnon is dead. In fact, Absalom has planned this ever since the day Amnon disgraced his sister Tamar. So now, my lord the king, don't take seriously the report that says all the king's sons are dead. Only Amnon is dead. Meanwhile, Absalom fled. When the young man who was standing watch looked up, there were many people coming from the road west of him, from the side of the mountain. Jonadab said to the king, "Look, the king's sons have come. It's exactly like your servant said." Just as he finished speaking, the king's sons entered and wept loudly. Then the king and all his servants also wept very bitterly. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. The king mourned for his son every day. After Absalom had fled to Geshur and had been there 3 years, King David longed to go to Absalom, for David had finished grieving over Amnon's death. Joab, son of Zeruiah, realized that the king's mind was on Absalom. So Joab sent someone to Tekoa to bring a wise woman from there. He told her, "Pretend to be in mourning. Dress in mourning clothes, and don't put on any oil. Act like a woman who has been mourning for the dead for a long time. Go to the king and speak these words to him." Then Joab told her exactly what to say. When the woman from Tekoa came to the king, she fell face down to the ground, paid homage, and said, "Help me, your majesty." "What's the matter?" the king asked her. "Sadly, I am a widow. My husband died," she said. "Your servant had 2 sons. They were fighting in the field with no one to separate them, and one struck the other and killed him. Now the whole clan has risen up against your servant and said, 'Hand over the one who killed his brother, so we may put him to death for the life of the brother he murdered. We will eliminate the heir.' They would extinguish my one remaining ember by not preserving my husband's name or posterity on earth." The king told the woman, "Go home. I will issue a command on your behalf." Then the woman of Tekoa said to the king, "My lord the king, may any blame be on me and my father's family, and may the king and his throne be innocent." "Whoever speaks to you," the king said, "bring him to me. He will not trouble you again. She replied,
Please, may the king invoke the Lord your God, so that the avenger of blood will not increase the loss, and they will not eliminate my son.
As the Lord lives, he vowed, not a hair of your son will fall to the ground. Then the woman said,
Please, may your servant speak a word to my lord the king?
Speak, he replied. The woman asked,
Why have you devised something similar against the people of God?
When the king spoke as he did about this matter, he pronounced his own guilt.
The king has not brought back his own banished one.
We will certainly die and be like water poured out on the ground, which can't be recovered. But God would not take away a life.
He would devise plans so that the one banished from him does not remain banished. Now therefore, I've come to present this matter to my lord the king because the people have made me afraid. Your servant thought, I must speak to the king. Perhaps the king will grant his servant's request. The king will surely listen in order to keep his servant from the grasp of this man who would eliminate both me and my son from God's inheritance. Your servant thought, May the word of my lord the king bring relief. For my lord the king is able to discern the good and the bad like the angel of God. May the Lord your God be with you.
Then the king answered the woman, I'm going to ask you something. Don't conceal it from me.
Let my lord the king speak, the woman replied.
The king asked, Did Joab put you up to all this? The woman answered, As you live, my lord the king, no one can turn to the right or left from all my lord the king says. Yes, your servant Joab is the one who gave orders to me. He told your servant exactly what to say. Joab, your servant, has done this to address the issue indirectly. But my lord has a wisdom like the wisdom of the angel of God, knowing everything on earth. Then the king said to Joab, I hereby grant this request. Go, bring back the young man Absalom. Joab fell with his face to the ground in homage and blessed the king. Today, Joab said, your servant knows I have found favor with you, my lord the king, because the king has granted the request of your servant. So Joab got up, went to Geshur, and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. However, the king added, He may return to his house, but he may not see my face. So Absalom returned to his house, but he did not see the king. No man in all Israel was as handsome and highly praised as Absalom. From the sole of his foot to the top of his head, he did not have a single flaw. When he shaved his head, he shaved it at the end of every year because his hair got so heavy for him that he had to shave it off. He would weigh the hair from his head, and it would be 5 pounds, according to the royal standard. 3 sons were born to Absalom, and a daughter named Tamar, who was a beautiful woman. Absalom resided in Jerusalem 2 years, but never saw the king. Then Absalom sent for Joab in order to send him to the king. But Joab was unwilling to come to him. So he sent again, a second time, but he still would not come. Then Absalom said to his servants, See, Joab has a field right next to mine. And he has barley there. Go and set fire to it. So Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab came to Absalom's house and demanded,
Why did your servants set my field on fire?
Look, Absalom explained to Joab. I sent for you and said, come here. I want to send you to the king to ask, why have I come back from Geshur? I'd be better off if I were still there. So now, let me see the king. If I am guilty, let him kill me. Joab went to the king and told him. So David summoned Absalom, who came to the king, and paid homage with his face to the ground before him. Then the king kissed Absalom. Psalm 80. Listen, shepherd of Israel, who leads Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine on Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Rally your power and come to save us. Restore us, God. Make your face shine on us so that we may be saved. Lord God of armies, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You fed them the bread of tears and gave them a full measure of tears to drink. You put us at odds with our neighbors. Our enemies mock us. Restore us, God of armies. Make your face shine on us so that we may be saved. You dug up a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared a place for it. It took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered by its shade and the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out sprouts toward the sea and shoots toward the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its fruit? Boars from the forest tear at it, and creatures of the field feed on it. Return, God of armies. Look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine, the root your right hand planted, the son that you made strong for yourself. It was cut down and burned. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be with the man at your right hand, with the son of man you have made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God of armies. Make your face shine on us, so that we may be saved. If you ever hear a passage of scripture read on Commuter Bible and you want to share it with others on social media, there's a fun tool on our website called Recast, which takes an audio clip from whichever portion you select and turns it into a shareable video. Just go to commuterbible.org, click the episode in question, and there on the episode subpage, click Recast. That opens up a tool that will allow you to select a passage from the show anywhere from 30 seconds to 90 seconds, and once you've made your selection, it will turn into a video that you can use or post as you see fit. Again, that's at our website, commuterbible.org. Today's episode was narrated and orchestrated by me, John Ross, and co-produced by Eric Williamson. Thanks for listening, and remember, happy is the one whose delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night.